This is Gene Montristelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to our call for January 22nd, 2013. As we go through the call tonight, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. To ask questions, all you need to do is push *2 to raise your hand, and I will see that you've raised your hand here in my little dashboard, and we'll be able to answer your questions as we move along. Before we jump into the call tonight, I just wanted to make a couple of announcements. First of all of you who have submitted in your private one-on-one tapping requests that you got as part of signing up, I'm actually going to start recording those tomorrow. I had some technical issues over the weekend and was without a computer for about 48 hours. When I make those available, what I'll do is I will record yours and email it to you directly, and then I'll also make it available on the site. And don't worry, I'm not going to include your name or any personal data, so there's no way that anybody can tell that that was an audio that was tailored just for you, and so you'll have an opportunity to experience those, and I'll start rolling those out as we have them. If you've been having any login issues, please send me an email, gene@tappingqa.com. We've been able to work most of them out, but if you have anything going on, please let me know. And finally, on the announcement wise, the audio that is going up tomorrow morning is really, really super awesome. So I want you to make sure you check out Wednesday's audio. Most of them I record the day over the day before. This is one I recorded based off of a conversation I had with a client yesterday, and it was one of those things that I wanted to capture it. So I took a few moments and recorded it today. Of the audios I've put up, it's one of my favorite. It's one that really touched me. It's only 2 minutes long. Make sure you spend some time with it. There have been a number of people who have mentioned that they have felt a little bit overwhelmed by the magnitude of the resources that are on the site. They love the fact that you're getting stuff multiple days a week, and there's a tool, and there's the goals list, and it feels like it's too much. And so I just wanted to address that before we jumped in tonight. The tools are there to be helpful for you. And so I want to make sure as you are using those tools, you're using them in a way that isn't creating more burden in your life instead of less burden in your life. So I have a couple of ways. If any particular week that you feel way too overwhelmed, to use the resources in kind of a light version that's going to make it a little bit easier for you. The first is, during a week that's really, really busy, really, really hectic, give yourself permission to only use the tool. Take the tool that is taught on Monday and only use that, and use that a couple of times during the week. Instead of feeling like you have to go and do those other tap-along audios and they feel like homework, just do the tools. And you'll notice that when you log into the site, on the right-hand side, it says this week's tool. You can click on that and you won't see any of the other tap-alongs that are there. So you won't feel like it's a burden, like you're missing something, like you're not doing enough. And you'll only be able to concentrate there on the tools. The second thing is, give yourself permission to skip a week with the tools. Take last week's tool and do it this week. If it's something that's really resonating with you and it's working really, really well, don't feel like you have to do every single tool every single week. They're there to be helpful. They're building on each other, but not in a way where you have to do one before you can do the next. So give yourself permission to know that you can step back, skip a week, do the same tool over and over again. And the last thing is, if you miss a day, that's okay. Give yourself permission to know that if it's something that came up too quickly, and you missed the day, and all of a sudden it's Friday, and you missed Wednesday's tap, and you didn't get to it on Thursday, that's okay. It's always going to be there. You can download it later. You can stick it on your iPhone or your any MP3 player, and you can just hit shuffle. So go back, take your time with it. Don't feel like you're rushing along the way. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to set up, because there have been some people who have been talking about, you know, feeling a little overwhelmed. And that's the last thing I want to do. I'm not here to create homework. I'm here to create an opportunity for you as we're moving forward to just really release and let go and use the tools. Now, as we move through this, as a reminder, I've noticed some folks have come onto the call since we've began. If you have a question while we're doing stuff today to raise your hand, all you need to do is press *2. That works if you're in Skype, just use the keypad, or if in your regular phone, just hit star 2. If you're listening online in the web chat and you want to ask a question, just use the little box there on the left-hand side and hit submit. If you do that, those questions are going to come through and I'll have an opportunity to answer those as well. And so as we're moving through stuff tonight, feel free to raise your hand, ask a question. I want to make sure that your questions are being answered. Then at the end of the evening, if there are still some questions or still some time or some things that you want to tap to, we'll be able to get to those. So just press star 2. So what I wanted to do tonight is I wanted to spend a little time talking about goals and the most effective way that we can tap with our goal list to make sure that we're moving forward. As you noticed in the newsletter that I sent out on Sunday, I added some extra resources in the goal area because tapping for your goals every single week is a really critical part of this process. And for me, it's been one of the really transformational moments as I was going through the last year of my life, really making sure that I had a chance to really dive into those goals and to spend time with them. And there has been some hesitation and some apprehension and some feeling of overwhelm around that. And so what I wanted to do tonight was I wanted to give you 9 different ways that you could tap with your goal list. Now, as a reminder, we're recording the call tonight. If you want to take notes, that's great, but you're going to get a chance to re-listen to the audio. And when we're done this evening, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and type these notes up with the call recording so you can go back instead of just having to listen through, you'll be able to see these 9 ways to tap. Now, back to our point that we started with a little bit earlier, about this idea that I don't want to overwhelm you and I don't want this to feel like homework. I'm going to give you 9 new ways that you can tap with your goal list. I don't expect you to do all 9 every single week. I would only expect that you would use one of these ways if you are struggling when you're tapping with your goal list. So the way I use my goal list is every single Monday, I go onto the website where I have my goals, so you can see them, they're there publicly, and I take a look at them, and basically what I do is I read through them. Now, as I read through them, so this is way number 1, simply take the goal list and read through them very slowly in a way in which you are focusing on each and every goal. This shouldn't be like saying the Pledge of Allegiance, which can be said really, really quickly. And this shouldn't be in a circumstance where it feels like it's a chore or a task. Stop everything else that you're doing and very thoughtfully and very slowly read through the goals. Pay attention to each and every word, say them out loud, and hear the words as you're saying them out loud. By focusing in and being present to them, this is going to give you the opportunity to find the emotional charge. And when you find an emotional charge, instead of simply just dwelling with that emotional charge on a piece of paper, just jot down the emotions that are showing up. This particular goal feels really scary or overwhelming, or I feel so far away from this that this feels like a pipe dream, that there's no possible way that this is going to happen. By capturing those things and getting them out of your head, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to take some power out of the emotion. Fully articulated emotions are short-lived. Let me say that again. Fully articulated emotions are short-lived. Our emotions are showing up to get our attention. I feel scared because my system's recognizing a piece of danger that's out there in the world. And so what it's doing is it's pointing out that danger. And when I hear that danger, what it does is it puts me into a position that's going to make it easier for me to move forward and respond in a way that is positive. So, way number 1, take the goals, read them slowly out loud. As the emotions show up, write those emotions down, and now you have, as tappable issues, something to go after, or you might simply find by getting those emotions out of your head, you're putting yourself into a place where you've already taken a lot of steam out of them, and you can start seeing your way to having those goals be successful. The second thing that you could do when tapping for your goal list is, instead of tapping for your goals, name and tap for the emotions that you have about having to go to your goal list. If you're in a circumstance where you're feeling really overwhelmed because those goals feel a really long, long way away, it puts yourself in a circumstance where you don't want to get there, and this huge layer of resistance comes up to even tuning into the goals. And as I've said, there's a lot of power in being able to tune in and recognize the goals and recognize what we get from them. And if we're not putting ourselves in a position where we can actually do that openly, then we're putting ourselves at a huge disadvantage and we're in a struggle in moving forward. So instead of tapping for your goal list, next Monday, if you'd like, sit down and go, today I have to dig out this goal list and I have to tap for it because Gene says it's important and I've decided it's important. What do I feel about that? What are the emotions that are showing up? Is that exciting? Is it scary? Is it daunting? And take some time and tap on the emotions that show up about the goal list. And in doing so, it's going to make you more open to being able to receive what's on the goal list. And it's going to put you into a position that's going to make it easier for you to move forward. Excuse me. The third way that you can tap for your goal list, and after we go over this one, we'll see if we have any questions, is it's possible that I might feel really bad about the amount of progress that has not happened this week. So I tapped for my goal list last week, and I go about my week, and I do the weekly tapping, and things happen, and maybe you're like me, and your computer breaks down for a couple of days, and you're way behind, and all of a sudden you sit down for your goal list, and you notice that you feel really bad because you haven't made any progress, and you haven't moved forward, or it feels like you haven't moved forward because there aren't any tangible results yet. You know, maybe you have a health goal, and you're not riding your bike any faster than you were a week ago, or you're not any lighter than you were a week ago, or you're still eating those comfort foods the same way you were before. I find it really effective when that happens to take a moment and tap for the fact that I feel bad about not making any progress. And the way I tap for it is something like this. And if this is something you've experienced, I'd just encourage you to tap along with me. And I'm just gonna start in the eyebrow point and work through the points in the normal order. Jump around if you'd like, just make yourself at home. This week, I didn't do as well as I would like. I had really good intentions. I had really high hopes. And for some reason, it just didn't seem to work out this week. For some reason, I didn't feel like I made any progress at all. But the simple fact I took some time to tap a little bit, even if it wasn't as much as I would have liked to have, it put me in a position to be able to move forward. I didn't backslide. And this is a new week. And it's a new opportunity. And I give myself permission to give it a go. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but by acknowledging the fact that I feel bad that I haven't moved forward and tapping to it, I'm going to position myself so that I don't have resistance to step into that. So the first three that we have, tap through our goal list, write down the emotions that are coming up and tap for them specifically. Tap for the emotions I have about addressing my goal list, and tapping on feeling like I failed because I didn't get as forward as I liked last week, and addressing that before I step into the goal list. So those first three as a way to approach the goal list. Do you have any questions about that? If you have a question, you can press star 2 to raise your hand, or you can just type a little question into the box if you're listening to us on the webcast. There's no questions online. And no one has presently raised their hand. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on. Okay. The fourth way that I find really effective in looking at my goals, which is kind of similar to the third way, there are going to be times in which I have made an honest effort to work towards my goal, And I failed in the process of doing that. I was going to create something new and it didn't turn out right. I was going to make a sales call to sell something to a new client and they said no. I had a really great idea at work to help reorganize my time so that I could get out of the office at 4:30 and be home in time for the kids or to be there with my family at dinner. And they said no. And so I find it really useful and really helpful to address the attempts that I made this week that didn't work out and to spend a little time reflecting on those before I look at my goal list. So before I go, okay, these are my goals and this is what I'm going to do this week, I'm going to go, okay, how did the last week go? What were the efforts I made? What were successful? What were the things that weren't? And I really appreciate the fact that I made those efforts. And even when we fail, it's good for us to acknowledge the thought behind it, the effort we put in, and to tap for that, it's really simple. This week didn't go as planned. I made a lot of effort. I made an honest effort. I tried to move forward, and the things I tried didn't work out. And it really stinks that it didn't work out because I had really high hopes for that idea. And as I gave it a try, things got in my way. And even if this isn't the right path, it shows that I can take effort, and it shows that I can move forward. And to take a few moments and to just tap on my failures or the things that I tried as well as I could that didn't work out the way that I wanted to, by addressing those in that way, what it's going to do is it's going to put us in a position where we're going to be able to move forward in a way that allows us to be successful. The fifth way, and this is my favorite, instead of tapping to your entire goal list, if you've taken the time on your goals to name what you want, how you know you'll get it, and what you get from that, why you want it, just tap for the whys on your goal list. So I just pulled up my goal list. So just as an example. And so if I was just going to tap on the whys, it's going to be so that I can be healthier, move easily, and put less stress in my heart. To know that I'm reaching more people with successful resources. To be able to help other practitioners to grow their business. So I can assist practitioners with the difficult part of running a business and develop more opportunities to grow my own. To share free resources with a larger audience to help them to grow and heal and to give me more business opportunities. Help me to know that I'm doing good work because people are willing to share it. It allows me to spend more time working with people and less time marketing. Allow me to have the resources for the transitions that I want so I can enjoy the challenges of the city without feeling like I'm living at work. So that's just part of them. But you can see what happens when we just tune into the why. By just tuning into why we want what we want, it immediately lifts our spirit. It immediately starts pushing us forward, and it gets me to a place of wanting to take action. No, not just simply resting in, oh, this feels so good, but it's like, oh, this is what I get to become. You know, we're most likely to take action when we're closest to pain and we're trying to get out of it, and we're closest to joy and we're trying to step into it. And so just take a few moments and just tap through your whys. Just read them out loud, name each one of them bit by bit, and by doing so, what it's going to do is it's going to put you into a position where you can just really feel like you have some mojo to move forward into the week. The sixth one is one of the more difficult ones, but I think it's one that's really, really important. When you look at your goal list, after you've looked at all your goals, honestly ask yourself the question, who would be or could be hurt if I get any of these goals? And that might feel a little extreme because we're not moving forward in a way because we're being thoughtless and we're being reckless, but we don't live in a vacuum. And there are very specific and direct consequences to the choices we make. If I decide that I'm going to go back to school so I can get a second degree so it allows me to get a new job, it's actually going to take time. And because I'm working full time, it's now happening in the evening, and I'm going to be able to spend less time with my loved ones. And if I'm not around in the evening and I'm not spending as much time with my loved ones, I might start getting grief from them because I'm not around. Or they might start pouting because they feel like I'm disengaged and I'm not present and I'm not around for them, or I'm not around with them. And so there are consequences to us being successful. And sometimes we will be able to name those consequences in a subconscious way. And since we name them in a subconscious way, we're going to continue to self-sabotage ourselves. And so when you're looking at your goal list, it's really good and it's really effective and it's really thoughtful to take a look and just ask yourself, who could be hurt or who could feel like they're being hurt, because they might not actually be hurt, but that's the way they're perceiving it, by me having any or all of these goals. And if I'm able to name that as I'm working through the process, it's going to put me into a place that's going to allow me to move forward in a more effective way. So, numbers 4, 5, and 6, tap for our failed attempts. 5, spend some time tapping on your whys from your goals. And 6, asking yourself honestly the question, who might be hurt or perceived being hurt by me achieving any or all of these goals? So now that we've gone through 6 of them and you're thinking more and more about your goals, what questions do you have? If you have a question, you can just press *2 and that will raise your hand and I will see it. Or if you're listening online, if you just type a question into the chat box on the left, I will get that question as well. Excellent. Everybody seems to be absorbing things very, very quickly this evening. So, number 7. What's an effective way that we can use our goal list number 7? And number 7 is a corollary or a cousin to number 6. Same thing. Look at your goal list and ask yourself the question, how will my life become harder if I achieve any or all of these goals? And this is very similar, that sometimes when we are successful, it brings negative consequences to us. And we talk about this idea of secondary gain, of keeping a pain and keeping us out of the way of something else. And in real tangible ways, that can show up in our goals. You know, oftentimes having success brings with it not only the fear of trying and failing and look foolish, but also being successful and then losing that success. Because all of us at some point in our life have experienced what it's like to achieve something and then to lose that in some capacity, or to have others perceive us as losing that in some capacity. And when we backslide in some way, what it does is it puts us into a position where we feel like we're looking foolish because we were shooting above our standard or trying to have something that we weren't worthy of. The other thing is, oftentimes we can fear that success means more work. You know, we come from a society that work hard to get ahead and we're honored and rewarded for that. But if I'm going to keep that reward, it feels like I have to keep working harder. You know, I want to move up in the company and I'm afraid that I'm going to get more responsibility and I'm not going to get the support I need to take over the things that I was doing before. And so we need to look at what are the tangible costs of having goals and achieving those goals. And that's not to talk ourselves out of it, because when we turn to that why statement, we can see how and why they're so valuable. But we need to put ourselves in a position where we're able to name those directly. And so one of the weeks when you go through your goal list, you might tap through the goal list. And then when you're done, look at the goals and just ask yourself that question. What am I going to do that's going to be harder if I achieve this goal? Or how is this going to make my life more difficult? Or how is this going to change what I have in a way that feels like more work? And by asking those questions honestly, it's going to put ourselves into a position where we're going to be able to see what's going on, and to be able to feel whether or not that's an issue that needs to be approached or tapped for directly. The eighth way is something that if you've been through the 10-step guide to getting out of your own way, it was introduced there. I wanted to reintroduce it here because it's really, really useful. What they have found, scientists have found, is it's not enough to simply imagine we have our goal. Because achieving the goal, and this is different than the why, but achieving the goal, getting the job, losing the weight, moving forward, achieving the goal and just visualizing that can be a demotivating factor. Because if I'm just feeling the sense of accomplishment, not the what I'm getting from it, but just the accomplishment of finishing the task, you know, just the weight being gone, just having the new job, it actually becomes demotivating because I've emotionally experienced it. But what we can do is we can approach it in a different way, and we can be in a circumstance where we can name what we want, name possible and probable obstacles, and visualize ourselves getting over those obstacles to get to our goal. And so the way that would look is we would look at one of the goals on our list. And oftentimes when we see our goals, we see the steps that are going to be there and we know the obstacles that will show up for that. And so if I'm in a circumstance that I would like a new opportunity at work, and to get the new opportunity at work, I have to have a conversation with my supervisor to convince him to release resources or to give me more time or to take away a task so I can do this. What I'm going to do after I tap through my goal list is I'm going to imagine myself having that conversation with my supervisor. I'm going to imagine myself coming up with his opposition. I'm going to imagine myself being able to clearly articulate my point and convince him that not only is it good for me, but it's good for him and it's good for the entire business for me to move forward. And so what we do is we visualize ourselves making good choices and we tap our way through that. You know, one of my goals might be, like mine, to be healthier, and it's possible, well, at least for me, you know, one of the struggles to that is cookies and cream ice cream. You know, that's certainly my emotional food of choice to do some craving killing. So if I know that's the case, the way I would do this is I would imagine myself after a day like today, getting off of this call and having a full day of clients and being a little exhausted and knowing I have a little more work and the craving for the ice cream shows up. And what I would do in the morning is I would imagine going through a long day. I would imagine the obstacle of being tired and emotionally drained. I would imagine the obstacle of feeling the craving. And I would imagine myself reaching for tapping or going outside doing some tree breathing, which for me is a great way to clear some emotions, a Qigong exercise that I love. And so what I do when I'm reading my goal list is I imagine the obstacle and I imagine myself getting over it and I tap my way through it. And it does a couple of things. One is I'm training myself to do it. Two is if any emotions show up about my ability to get past that obstacle, oh, I'm afraid the obstacle's going to show up, I'm not going to get by it, it puts me into a position that's going to let me get past it, get through it, be successful. So imagine the obstacle, imagine yourself getting past the obstacle, tap your way through that. The last one, and this is maybe a little more of a philosophical one, and it's similar to what are the penalties that I would have to face if I achieve this goal? And it is, read through your goal lists and then ask yourself the questions. What truth will I have to admit myself to achieve my goals? And sometimes, in order for us to get to the place that we want to get to, we need to release a burden. We need to heal a wound. We need to reconcile a relationship. We have to admit to a failing. We have to acknowledge something from our past that we're not very proud of. And if we're not willing to approach those hard truths and approach those mistakes from the past, if we're not willing to approach them honestly, then they're always going to sit in the background and they're always going to sabotage us because there's going to be a part of us that's never going to want to acknowledge that they were ever there. And so to look through your goal list and to ask yourself, what do I need to admit? And the interesting thing when I do an exercise like this is this isn't an exercise where I'm doing lots of brainstorming and I'm trying to come up with ideas. These are truths that sit right underneath the surface, things that are hard to admit. And I'll give you a tangible example of this. I did an interview this afternoon for a podcast that will be released in a few weeks. And we spent the time talking about resentment and people that we resent and things that are hard because of that sense of resentment. And the entire time, and as I think about it now, it shows back up again, there was a feeling in the inside of my teeth, that sensation of like the way that you ache on the inside with nails scratching on a chalkboard or when you bite on tinfoil. There's this sensation that just, for me, aches in my teeth. And just talking about this idea of resentment brought this physical sensation into my mouth. And it doesn't take a great deal of time to go, oh yeah, holy cow, look at that burden that I'm carrying around. I need to be honest and I need to go after that. And next week when I'm on the phone with my practitioner, I'm going to do some tapping between here and there. And, you know, Dr. Bob and I are going to be spending some time on that because that's something that I need to be working on because it's a real thing. And so when we ask that question, you know, what truths do I have to admit to myself in order for me to reach those goals? The answer is right there under the surface. But it's something that we need to step into, and it's something that we need to be honest about in order for us to go after that. So ideas 7, 8, and 9 are honestly acknowledging how our lives might be harder if we have these goals, naming those things and tapping for them. Seeing the obstacles in front of us, see ourselves getting past those obstacles and tapping our way through it. And 9, being able to be honest with what truths we might have to admit in order to achieve those goals and being able to address them and move into them. So again, after the call, I'm going to take these 9 ideas, I'm going to type them up, and I'm going to add them to the page when I upload the call audio so you can go back and you can re-listen to this, and you'll have these 9 in a written form so that when you approach your goal list on Monday or whatever day of the week you decide to do it, you're going to be in a circumstance where you're going to have a chance to really go after them in a way that's productive without feeling overwhelmed, without feeling like they have to be an absolutely perfect list, without feeling like you have to know exactly where you're heading. I would really encourage you to go back to the Kickstarter page, listen to the new audio that I added to the goal setting section about being easy with yourself, about giving yourself permission to have them be a work in progress, about being able to say, wouldn't it be cool if, instead of making it a written in stone goal. So before we open up to just questions about anything and tapping requests, because we have some time to do that as well, any questions or comments or concerns or clarity around these 9 ways to approach your goal list or any other goal-related questions at all? Because it's a really powerful resource when we're able to tap to them in an easy way at least once a week. If you have a question, you can just press *2 to raise your hand. Or, like I said, if you are in the webcast, just click on the question over there, and I'm going to check the webcast first. No questions there. And I do see a hand raised in Northampton, Massachusetts. Unmute. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Do you hear me?
I can very clearly. What's your question, my dear?
My question, what you've just said, Gene, this last one, what truth do I have to admit or acknowledge, I feel that really rings for me.
Yeah.
And also what you say, it's right under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give some general tapping examples of how you'd work with what, you know, something that's under the surface that's, if it was easy to articulate
right.
to myself, I would, but that, you know, how to get in touch with that feeling state that kind of you can sneak up on, have revealed what's there.
Absolutely. And so there's 2 parts to that. One is oftentimes when the system is in a circumstance where it's holding back information, it's kind of like a 5-year-old that's playing keep away. If you've ever played keep away with a 5-year-old, and the instant that you become disinterested in the game of keep away, the kid gives up and gives you whatever they were trying to hold, because for them it was the game, it wasn't there. So what I like to do is I like to do two things. The first is I like to acknowledge to the system that I want to hear the information on the time frame that the system feels most safe and comfortable. And the second is I like to remind myself that it's great to have specific understanding of these issues, and healing is possible even if I don't know those things. That it's possible for me to release things and never know the reason why. And I'll just give you an example of what that would look like if I was tapping. It would just be as simple as there's a piece of information that's really valuable and it's hiding under the surface, and there's a very specific reason the system is hiding it from me. And when the time comes, I know that information will present itself. And when it does, I'll be ready for it and I'll be ready to respond to it. And I let the system know that it can heal at its own rate, at its own time, for health and lasting relief. And I acknowledge the fact that it's possible for me to release this without ever knowing why. There's a part of me that really wants to know why, because then maybe I might be able to prevent it in the future. But it is possible for me to release and let go without having to know why. And I find when I do something like that, it's just like all of a sudden, psh, the information shows up in blinking bright lights, because I've turned to my system and I've let the system know this isn't a battle. This isn't a fight. I'm not trying to wrestle something away from you or make you change. We're in this together. And for me, the phrase is turning our issues into our allies. Because everything the system is doing because it thinks it's the best way to keep us safe and healthy. Now, it might be misinformed. It might be trying to do work it's not qualified for. It might not be seeing the long view, but its motives are pure. Its motives are to keep us safe and healthy. And so when we acknowledge that and we let the system know, hey, we're in this together. Be easy with me. I'll be easy with you. It's almost like the system goes, okay. And then that last part isn't I'm mollifying myself. For me, it's an honest statement. It's possible for me to release things, and I've released things and I've never known why. There was a burden and I did a round of tapping and the burden was gone. And the habit stopped and the particular critical voice went away. And I never knew why it showed up. I never knew the reason it believed that. I just knew it was gone. And by giving myself that permission, it allows me to keep moving forward without my intellectual self going, I have to know why so I can prevent it in the future. I have to know why so I can prevent it in the future. Because if our system's working from that place, we're never going to heal. Does that make sense?
Yes. And you're expanding on it really gives me a way to work with it. That was very, very helpful.
You know, for me, whenever I'm dealing with something that feels a little bit incomplete or I don't have the full picture, what I do is I just turn to my system and I just have a conversation about that and how I feel about that and how I feel about the system. And for me, it just opens up the healing process because I'm not stressed, I'm not pressured, I'm just present.
When you speak of your system and you know, turning towards and dialoguing, what might that sound like?
And so it's just like what I demonstrated. So what I do is, for me, any part of me that feels like is not on board with the healing process or is in a really emotional state, I almost personify it and just have a little conversation with it. You know, if the nervousness is in my stomach, I pretend that the nervousness in my stomach's a little character and I just start talking to it. You know, if it's something that's much more global, like it's this thought that's not coming forward, I just speak to my whole self as if it could respond to me. So it's I'm just taking a half a step and disassociating my intellect a little bit so I can have a conversation. And then I'm leaving the space to just hear the information that comes back.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other questions about the goal stuff that we covered or other things in general? hop over to the question and answer. Okay, yes, we got a couple of them over here. Let's see here. Yeah, so one of them is here, that was a really good demonstration of how to tap for things that are just under the surface. Can you make a tap along audio for that? Absolutely. We'll definitely make sure that happens. This has been recorded, so you'll be able to get that, but I'll cut it out as well. Okay, next question. How do you drill down on the final exercise? The thought I had in the last one that I would be rejecting my family values, and I don't know if this is entirely true. So when we bump into a circumstance where we're responding to this idea of how do I know if, what are the hard truths that I have to deal with, is when I'm presented with a truth that doesn't necessarily ring completely 100% true, I'm going to personify that truth. So I'm giving it some space again, so I have a sense of what it is. And then I'm going to do, and this is one of my favorite questions, whenever anything comes up, whenever a belief comes up in my system, I'm going to ask the question, what proof does my system have? What proof does my memory have? What proof does this emotion have that this is actually true? And what will happen in this, one of two things will happen. One is the system's going to say, there's not really any proof, but that just kind of seems like something that is true. And oftentimes when that happens, what it does is a lot of the wind is taken out of the sail of that particular question or that particular thought. The other is proof is going to show up in a really specific way. So the example you gave here is, you know, there's a part of me that feels like, you know, I'm going to be rejecting my family values for going after this goal. Okay, there's a part of me that believes I'm rejecting my family values if I go after my goals. What proof does my system have, or what proof did I have that that is true? And oftentimes what is going to come forward is a specific memory, a specific interaction, a specific thing that a loved one said, or a specific relationship. And so what it's doing is it's giving us insight into why that is true, because we can intellectually recognize that that's not the case. And all of a sudden we might remember, you know, some interaction with our family when we were 5 years old, where they were talking about people who were doing what we wanted are greedy, or, you know, artists aren't contributing to society, or something like that, which could have just been an offhanded comment that came in a family circumstance. But by asking the question, what proof do I have this is true, is it's a great way to unpack and uncover why something like that might be showing up. So I hope that makes sense. If you have a follow-up question, feel free to tap away into the comment box and we will come back to that. Any other questions? Could be about this, could be about anything in tapping in general. We got a few more minutes here that I'd be more than happy to entertain anything at all. Another hand comes up. Yep, there you go. Yes.
Yes, my question is actually, it has to do with I'm really enjoying doing these tap-alongs, and I do them every morning. Starting the day, and the one, for example, on appreciation, that one and the next one, I'm not able to download the PDFs, and you can't print them, or when you open the page to print, it just has...
So it just has the text from the page. So the actual scripts for the tap-along audios have not been added yet. I'm a little bit behind in getting those transcribed. So I just got back 5 of them today that'll go on the site tomorrow morning. Because what happens is when I create those, I don't write them out and then tap to them. That's really just me tapping for that stuff where I am in that moment and really being tuned into what's going on. I then, after the fact, have someone transcribe them. Once we get going, within 24 hours of the audios going up, you'll have transcriptions there. So just start looking to the site in the next couple of days. They'll show up, and certainly in Saturday's newsletter, in more detail, I'll point out exactly where all the transcripts are and as things get added. So they're coming.
Oh, okay. Okay. The other thing is, I don't know if this is just my computer, but when I was trying to download that, what comes up is ads come up for Silver Life Systems or, you know, ChakraHealing.com. Another one was for coaching. Is that, when I'm on your, I assume I'm on your site when I'm trying to download your PDF, and I'm, you know, twice now tonight, I've got these ads that pop up.
Okay.
And that have a link for me to go click. One was ChakraHealing.com, and the other was,
I will look into that. Okay. That is not supposed to be happening. I will make those stop. I will make the bad ads go away.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Very good. Anything else tonight? Going once, going twice. Okay, very good. Like I said, I will get the audio for this up here shortly. I'll also take my notes from tonight and type them up. So you have the nine approaches and the nine questions and the nine ways that you can look at things. As always, if you have questions, please do not hesitate to just drop me a note, and we'll be able to go from there. If you have any download issues, ads start showing up, anything like that, please let me know. One more hand is... Nope, hand went away. Very good. Hand is back up. There we go.
Okay. And again, one thing, since there's a little time, that if you would make or address is the issue. I find the idea that there's guidance available from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That I find, even though I understand it, I accept it. I find I don't have a way to connect with that myself. And I didn't know if you might do a tapping thing about connecting to guidance.
Mm-hmm. And the really important thing to remember is that there's lots and lots and lots of ways that we can get information. And it's possible that information is showing up, and it's showing up in a way that you're just not recognizing the source that it's coming from, because it's easy to have this really preconceived notion of what guidance is supposed to look like. You know, in this sense of that guidance needs to be this booming voice and trumpeting angels or automatic writing or something like that. And that's not the case, you know, for at least in my own experience, you know, the places that I've recognized guidance consistently showing up is it's showing up in a way where it's persistent and I'm getting the same message over and over again in simple, subtle ways. It's not big things. My friend Catherine Poole always says feathers and elephants. The universe first throws feathers, then it throws elephants. And oftentimes we might actually respond to the feather, but not give credit to where it's coming from and just feel like, oh, I figured this out. When in actuality, it showed up somewhere else. So I would tap for it something like this. Just tap on the side of the hand, just take a nice, easy, deep breath. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to mute you so that if any and all of you that would like to tap along out loud, you can certainly just do that. I appreciate the fact that I have access to guidance. I appreciate the fact I have access to lots of information. But there are times where I simply don't recognize it. I get confused about how it's showing up. And I have preconceived notions of what guidance is supposed to look like. I give myself permission to be open to guidance. And I give myself permission to trust myself in receiving that guidance. I ask information to show up in unexpected ways so it's easier for me to recognize it. I know it's possible for information to show up subtly, and I'm done with subtle. I would appreciate the information I know that is showing up to show up in such a way that it's impossible for me to miss it. Collarbone, because there are times when I'm a little caught up in what I'm doing. And it's easy for me to miss it. So does that make sense as kind of an approach? For me,
it does.
You know, for me, it's much more of an issue of whenever I approach any problem, you know, this is just one example of it, but whenever I approach any problem, to put myself into a position where I'm recognizing my own barriers to doing it and just saying, okay, this is what's going on and this is how I might be in the way. Let's just find a way that's an easier path.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
I think as soon as you've expressed this, especially the site way, there's lots of ways to get information.
Mm-hmm.
I get that I get information. And I think, Jean, it scares me in the sense of being that, say, clairvoyant, or, you know what I mean? Or that's not quite the word, but, you know, the powerfulness of,
right.
And the power of it kind of like overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's another thing to tap for. It's just go, you know, I'm scared that this is going to show up in an overwhelming way. And I just like it to be provided for me in a way that's simple and easier.
Mm-hmm.
So make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. We got a couple of questions over here in the tap. Will we be doing tapping as a group during the live calls? So the plan is for the live calls is the first live call of the month is going to be much more instruction-based. So the first 40 minutes of it or so is going to be talking about a really specific topic. And we'll be able to talk about and tap around that topic. The second call of the month is going to be free-for-all. It's going to be a chance for you to ask any questions or just show up with a tappable issue. And we might spend 5, 6, 7 minutes, you know, just raise your hand or type something into the chat box, and we can have our way with it. Let's see there. Is there ever a risk that we can override our system with tapping? This might sound strange out of context, but essentially yesterday I had a conflict with my partner and I tapped on that conflict and I found that once I was able to loose the emotional charge, I was trying to tap to convince myself to forgive myself for failing to do something that I generally needed to have fulfilled to feel valued. So what it sounds like is, and please feel free to type in and correct me if I'm not answering what you're asking here. It sounds like, is it possible for us to tap into the system something that isn't helpful or isn't useful or isn't good for us in the healing process in this moment? You know, am I going to tap my way to a place of accepting what's happening as what is best for me? And what's really important to remember is when we're tapping, we're not tapping something in and we're not tapping something out. What we're doing is we're tapping our way back into balance and we're tapping our way back to well-being. And there are going to be times in which health and well-being means that we are experiencing uncomfortable emotions. You know, the last thing, for example, when I feel sorrow, it's because I'm missing something that's really important. And it's good that I feel sorrow when a loved one dies. You know, it's my system saying, this person was really important to me, and I'm not going to tap myself to a place where all of that sorrow goes away, you know, immediately after it happens. Now, if it's 10 years later and I'm visiting a gravesite 4 times a week and crying for 45 minutes every single time I show up, okay, now we've gotten to the point where it's become disproportionate and too much. And so what's important to recognize is that we're not just tapping ourselves to placate what's going on. We're tapping our way back to balance. We're not tapping in. We're not tapping out. We're returning the system to balance. And so it's important to give ourselves permission that when we're tapping, I haven't failed because I'm tapping and there's still emotional charge there. But what I'm doing is I'm tapping to put myself in a place where I can respond to and receive what's there. So based on the question that was typed there, yes, that's what I mean. Perfect. Good. Well, we're coming up on the top of the hour, so I think we're going to wrap things up. For those of you that joined us in the chat box, Know that it is possible to dial into the calls over Skype, so it can be a local call for you where you're just going from Skype account to Skype account. When you do that, you're going to be able to use the keypad, and you're going to be able to raise your hand and ask questions. So if you're so inclined and you'd like to ask a question, you can do that. If you'd like to chat, just type them into the chat box because you're more comfortable doing that. That is perfect as well. So once we get off the call, what I'm going to do is type up the notes, add them to the site, update the site with tonight's audio. As always, please, if you have any questions, drop me a note, gene@tappingqna.com. Thanks for spending some time with us tonight, even if you're taking some time to listen to this after the fact. I will talk to you guys real soon. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.